Good evening. If I speak a little slower tonight, or if I should start to speak Italian, it's because we had lasagna yesterday at the Bible study program, and because of the storm, we didn't have the full weekend. We just had four sessions yesterday. Where we normally have 60 people, we could only have 40 yesterday, so we had a lot of lasagna left over. So I went back home today. You know what we had today? More lasagna. And that tends to slow you down. That's heavy. So I trust we can make it through without being too slow. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you think of it, Rex Trogdon was up from Charlotte, North Carolina to do the ministry at the Bible study program at York. And he finished at 7 o'clock. And he's leaving about now to drive straight through to Charlotte. So he'll be there about 4 in the morning. So if you wake up in the middle of the night and need someone to pray for, you might pray for Rex Trogdon on the highway by himself, traveling back down to Charlotte. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Back to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And we're just going to break into the story here. Verse 2. And he called him, that is the steward, the unjust steward, and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. Give an account of thy stewardship. The Bible has a great deal to say, actually, about stewardship. It may not always use that word. It isn't that we can just go to a concordance and look up the word steward or stewardship, although that appears quite often. And the actual original Greek word appears more often than the English word steward. It would appear, for instance, under the word dispensation. The word dispensation really being a stewardship. And the Bible has a lot to say about stewardship. In fact, it begins, the Bible begins with the subject of stewardship. We would not normally perhaps think of it that way, but just the same, it begins with stewardship and it ends with stewardship. It begins, you remember in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, that the Lord said that he would make man in his image and he would put man over the earth, and man would keep the earth for him and rule the earth and have dominion over the earth. That's stewardship. The world, the earth, was put into the care of Adam. That's stewardship. And we know that Adam failed in that stewardship. So the Bible starts with the first man failing in his stewardship. And it ends with the second man, who is now head over all things, and all things have been placed under his feet. And in the coming day, he will head up all things on the earth, of course, in Christ. And he will be faithful in that stewardship. So the Bible begins with stewardship, and it ends with stewardship, and in between, it has a lot to say about it. I don't know about you, but I find it to be a sobering thing to realize that every one of us who know the Lord will be called before the Lord, and we will hear these words in essence, give an account of thy stewardship. Every believer is a steward of the things of God. And every believer will be asked, as they stand before the Lord, to give an account of thy stewardship. What have you done with those things that I have put into your charge. Sobering thought, isn't it? We can go through life thinking that we can take the things of the Lord and either misuse them or not use them, and we'll never give an account. But there's a day coming when every believer will stand before the Lord and give an account of his stewardship. Now, the word stewardship really is made up of two words in the original, one meaning to administer, and the other meaning a house or dwelling. So to administer a house or dwelling, or to manage a home. Now, this was normally done, this responsibility was normally carried out by a slave, one who had nothing of his own, one who had no property, no funds, nothing of his own, of any substantial amount anyhow. And the owner of the home, who was either too busy or just didn't care to manage the home, would turn over the home to this slave who would manage it for the homeowner. Now, that involved a lot more than we may think. I don't know if you've ever been down to the, let's say, the plantations in Virginia, around Williamsburg and so forth, and they explained to you that these plantations were busy places, hundreds of people carrying out many, many functions. And the steward would be responsible for all of these people who were in that household or part of that household and the management of these people. Having spent close to 20 years in management and industry, I think most managers would agree that managing is easy if it wasn't for people. And these people had a lot of people to be responsible for. And not only that, but they carried out financial transactions. They were responsible for buying and selling. They were responsible for representing the owner. You know, when they went into the community and they were known as the steward of this household, they represented that homeowner or that family when they went into that community and when they did their transactions. They were entrusted with the management of that home. And that steward would control things or people. That steward would direct, would utilize resources, and he would also represent the owner. Let's go back to 1 Peter, just for a reference there. 1 Peter chapter 4. And we see there that every Christian is a steward. 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, the enablement, so even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We have been entrusted with that which is the Lord's. It's so easy to go through life and forget that everything is the Lord's. David said this in 1 Chronicles. You don't need to turn to it. I'll just read you David's statement in the 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles. He said very clearly, he said, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above it. But who am I, and what are my people, that we should be able to offer so freely after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." Talking about their donations to the construction of the temple. And David is simply saying, all that we have given towards the construction of this temple is simply the Lord's. He gave it to us, and we're simply giving it back. And Scripture tells us even the ability to gain wealth comes from the Lord. the minds we have, the employment we have, the ability to make a living come from the Lord. It's all the Lord's. And the Lord graciously turns over His things to us so that when we can use them, control them, direct them, and represent the Lord, and the Lord expects us to be faithful stewards. What should be true of a steward? Well, we know 1 Corinthians, I think, probably chapter 4, verse 2. If we don't know it, recognize the reference. You recognize the words, I'm sure. 1 Corinthians 4, 2 says this, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." I think that's obvious to us. I think if we were going to take whatever we have in our possession and we were going to turn it over to someone and just give everything we have to someone to take care of, we would sure trust and hope and attempt to make sure that the person we turned it over to is someone we could count on. Somebody who would be faithful. Someone who wouldn't misuse what we give them. Someone who wouldn't abuse what we give them. And someone who wouldn't just sit around and not use what we give them. We would trust they could be faithful and trustworthy. That's the words we would supply for faithful. Trustworthy, reliable, obedient, honest. This is what should be true of every one of us as God's stewards. God expects us to be faithful, ones that He can count on, ones that can be trusted, ones who will be honest, ones who will be obedient. Titus 1:7 tells us that elders are to be men who are faithful. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. He must be faithful. The sheep have been put into the care of the under-shepherds. You can see the awesome responsibility, can't you? We mentioned this morning the need to encourage and to honor and to value the oversight. Think of the responsibility they are as stewards. They will give an answer, the Bible says. They are responsible for the souls of those that God has placed into their stewardship. They are responsible for the sheep and for the assembly. The Lord said through Peter, "Feed the flock of God." There are some today, perhaps not as many as we often would like to think, but a good number anyhow, who look at the sheep as their sheep. You know, this is my church, and these are my people, and these are my sheep. Of course, they're the Lord's sheep, and they are placed into the care of the oversight, and the oversight is responsible for their spiritual well-being, for their discipline, for their teaching, for their edification, for their direction. An elder is a steward and responsible. The Bible gives us other examples of stewards. Go back to, if you would, Nehemiah chapter 7. Kind of a remarkable statement made here. Nehemiah 7, verse 1. Now it came to pass when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. It's a wonderful testimony to have, isn't it? Isn't that something that we would certainly desire? That others could say of us, he is a faithful man and fears the Lord more than many. Quite a statement. That's an objective for us all, I believe, to have such a testimony. David, of course, was entrusted with his father's sheep. If we go to the book of Colossians, Paul mentions three men, Tychicus, Epaphras, Onesimus, and he calls them all faithful men. Peter talks about Silvanus as a faithful brother. Proverbs says to us, a faithful man who can find. People you can trust. People you can count on. I know going back to those years in industry, when you found an employee you could count on, you could trust, you could put a project or whatever it was into his care or her care, they were a rare commodity and they were valuable. And there shouldn't be any better employees, should there, than Christians who are stewards of God, who should be faithful and honest and trustworthy. The Scripture then has a lot to say, and its Scripture takes time to note these men and women who are faithful. It's so important today when there's a lot of unfaithfulness, and many can't be trusted, and many are not good stewards, that we be found faithful. So the first thing that should be true of all of us as stewards of God is that we are faithful people. That what is put into our care, we can be trusted with. Let's go to Matthew, and you'll see a second thing, I think. Matthew 25. This is the parable of the talents. We typically apply this to ability, to gift. I personally struggle with that because, as I probably noted previously, verse 30 talks about casting people into outer darkness, and I don't think that's the end of those who don't use their spiritual gift. But still, the application is there. And we know that this story talks about a man who went away and he gave various amounts to his servants. And we look at verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I think we can see from this that not only should a steward be faithful, but a steward should be productive. A steward should take what the Lord gives him and use it and be productive for the Lord. Now that's a challenge. To think of my life and you think of your life and ask oneself, what have I produced for the Lord with that which he has given me? He has put things into my care. What have I done with them? Sometimes we fall into a defensive mode where we say, well, at least I didn't lose what he gave me. I didn't abuse what he gave me. I didn't misuse what he gave me. But did I use what he gave me? There are many things that have been put into our care. Have we used them? How have we used them? What have we produced for the Lord? When the Lord should come, could we say, we've been given 5 and here's another 5? or we simply do as one has said, well, I hit it, I at least didn't lose it. Here's the one you gave me, and I'll give it back to you. Or are we going to apply? Are we going to use it so that we are productive stewards? I think we can see this in life. Again, if we were to give funds to someone, and 10 years later they gave us the same amount back, we would say to them, well, at least, as here, you could have put it in the bank and had some interest. In other words, you could have turned it over in many cases to other people who would have used it. See, when you put money in the bank uses it. And they give you a little bit of money for the privilege of using your money. And these days, they don't give you a whole lot. But then again, they're not getting a whole lot. So they could have used it. There are sometimes things in our possession, if we're not going to use them, we could at least turn it over to those who will use them and be productive rather than just hiding them. So we are to be faithful and we are to be productive. Titus 1, we already read it, tells us the third thing that should be true of the steward. Steward is to be blameless. That means not, you know, sinless perfection. That means that they are to be one that no one can point the finger at. No one can say, you know, the way they got that money, that's a little shady. You know, they were crafty the way they obtained that money they have, or whatever it is, or they misuse something, and someone can point the finger. And the stewards of God, we are not to be crafty, we're not to be misusers, there is not to be that which people can point the finger at us and say we've misused what the Lord has put into our care. Paul in 2 Corinthians was given a sum of money, he was going to carry it to the saints in Jerusalem. And he talks about someone traveling with him and so forth. And the whole thought is, I want to be someone who handles this money in such a fashion that no one can point the finger at me and say that I skimmed some off the top or I misused some or whatever. I want to make sure that I'm accountable for it. And no one could point the finger and question how I used it or whether I delivered it. And we want to be sure of that, whatever the Lord has put in our care, that we do it in a way that does not bring shame. We do it in a way that no one could point the finger. Now, we immediately, I think, our minds go to the TV evangelist. We know many of them are not blameless. What they've done to gain money is sad, isn't it? And it has impacted those who are blameless, quite frankly. And those who are honest have been impacted by it. But there's a very clear example of those who are not blameless, who we can point the finger at and say that's shady, or that's crafty, or there's theft involved, or that's dishonest, or whatever. As stewards, we want to be above that. We want to be blameless. We want to be men, good. We want to be those who have a good report of all men. So the three things that should be true of us as stewards is that we are faithful. We can be counted on. Second, we will be productive. We will use what the Lord has put into our care. Third, we will be blameless. When we use it, no one will point a finger at us and say we have misused it. Three things, then, that should be true. Now, there is one thing that is absolutely true of a steward, and we've already talked about it. The steward is accountable. There isn't anything you and I can do about that. It's a fact. The other things, whether we're faithful, whether we're productive, whether we're blameless, is something that we impact. But it's fact and it's truth that every believer is accountable as a steward of God. The parable of the talents tell us that. These things were divvied out based on their ability, it says. And they're only responsible for what has been given to them. And that's true in our spiritual life. We're only responsible for what the Lord has put into our care. Sometimes we look out and we see others who have more, and we say, boy, I wish I had that, and what I could do for the Lord if I just had that. But the Lord's exhortation to all of us is, use what you have. Use what the Lord has put into your hands. Because rewards are based on faithfulness, not on quantity. Some the Lord has put tremendous amount of funds into their hands, and with it they're responsible. Others, just a small amount of funds. But they're responsible too, to use what they have. But they're not responsible for more than they have. And when it comes to spiritual gifts, we're responsible for the gift we have, the enablement we have. We are responsible for that. And we will give an account. How have we used the gift that the Lord has given us? Now, the Lord has given every believer at least one gift. Therefore, we will give an answer to how we have used that gift as stewards of God. So we should be faithful, we should be productive, we should be blameless, but we are accountable for what has been placed into our hands. Now, what has been entrusted to us? What has been given to us that we are accountable for? Well, the first is time. All of us have been given time. Every tick of the clock we are responsible for. God has put that into our lives. He has put that into our care. We are told to redeem the time. It's something God has given us that we are to utilize for God. And I say to myself, and I'm sure you probably feel the same, as you look at your life, and the older we get, we begin to say, what have I done with the time the Lord has given me? And those of you who are younger here tonight, you have an opportunity to think about that and to do something about it, that many of us who have gone on a little longer, we can't do anything about it. Time has passed. But we still have the time the Lord has given us, regardless of the age we are. He's given us time. He's given us life. And that life is just not to be lived out on the earth for, you know, our enjoyment until the days go by. The Lord has given us that we would use time for His honor and glory. How do we use our time? Sometimes when dealing with young people who are either going to get married or are married and are having problems with finances, I recommend to them that they write down everything they spend. If they're running a McDonald's down in York now, you can get a cheeseburger for 39 cents at McDonald's. 39 cents, can't beat that. And I tell them, write it down, 39 cents. Well, you got to pay the governor, so it's probably 42. Write it down. And keep a list of everywhere you spend your money, because it's educational. It's educational for all of us to see where our money actually goes and where we spend it. What if we did that with time? What if we were to write down, like at the end of the day, what we did with our time? You know, so much went to work, so much went to sleep, so much went to TV, so much went to eating, and so forth, and give an account for our time. How have we used the time that the Lord has given us? time affords us opportunities, doesn't it? Opportunities come our way. And we're responsible for how we use those opportunities. You know, as we pass through life, there are opportunities to say a word for the Lord that come along. Circumstances arise. People come across our pathway. Just because of time and circumstances bring us together, and we have the opportunity, how do we utilize that? So the first thing we have of God is time. Second is talent. The Lord has given us all an enablement. He's given us gifts. Not all the same gifts. Not all public gifts. Some public gifts. We are to utilize them. Some have the gifts of teaching. Some have the gifts of evangelists. Some have the gifts of mercy. Some have the gifts of help. Some have the gifts of giving. But whatever that gift is that God has given to you, you are to be utilizing it for the Lord. It is to be put to use. It is to be productive. It is that which is to be operative and working. Now, I've said many times in the past, and I probably have said it here, one of the problems that often faces us is that we sit and we ponder, what is my gift? You know, the Bible clearly says I have a gift, but I can't find it. I've searched high and low, and I just don't know what it is. Well, the Bible also says the Lord gives us ministries. The same chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, says that God, the Lord, gives us ministries. Now, ministries are avenues through which the gift functions. So you can have a storage battery and just sit it there on a shelf. It's got power. It's got potential. It's got ability. But just sitting there like that, a battery sitting on a shelf, never produces anything. But if you take two wires to it and connect those wires to that battery and take those wires over and connect them to a car, you can start a car. Or if you connect them to a light, you can make the light go on. You see, those wires are the avenues through which the power flow and something productive happens on the end. And we sit and we wonder, what's my power? What's my ability? I think it's far easier many times to find the ministry, the avenue through which things flow. So my encouragement would be, if you don't have a ministry, find one. Look around, see what needs to be done, and do it. And get involved in a ministry, because without the wires of the ministry, the gift will never function. The gift will just sit dormant, a lot of potential, but nothing productive. A ministry. What are we involved in for the Lord? There are many ministries you can be involved in. You see, the Bible tells us, for instance, in John's epistle, when you support a ministry, you become a partner in that ministry. You support a missionary, you actually become a partner, John says, with that missionary. It isn't just that you send them your funds and then you're kind of remote. No, you're actually a partner with them. You're involved in that ministry. And I honestly believe that many saints miss the joy of giving because they do not understand that when they give, they're actually a partner and they're involved in that ministry. So look for a ministry. Look for an avenue of service and serve, and I think the gift, the enablement will flow. Time, talent. Thirdly, things. Talked about a lot of things lately. There are good things. The Lord has given us many things. Perhaps none bigger than our home. There probably isn't a bigger investment in any of our lives than our homes. if we own a home. A lot of money, perhaps the one thing we will spend the greatest amount of money on in our lives is our home. And the Bible encourages us to be users of our homes. Encourages us to be those who practice hospitality. That's using your home. Opening your home up. You know, Lydia was just saved. She says to Paul, listen, if you really think in essence I'm saved, then you're going to let me get involved in this. And you and your company of men who are traveling with you, you're going to come and you're going to stay at my house. She immediately opens her home to the Apostle Paul and those traveling with him and puts her home to use immediately. The Philippian jailer gets saved. What's the first thing he does? He takes Paul into his home and washes his wounds and lets him preach to the family. He uses his home. Think of the investment that's in our homes. And then think, sadly, of how little we use them. We can house saints. We can house missionaries. We can use them for Bible studies. We can use them to produce things for the Lord. There's many ways that a home can be used. That's just one of the things that the Lord has put into our hands. He has put funds into our hands. He's put money into our hands. You have to be careful how we talk about money, but I think that it's sad, quite frankly, that so many ministries, I'm talking about faithful, good ministries, are always operating on a shoestring. I think it's a shame that the Lord's work and many missionaries and many people who are attempting to do the Lord's work are always operating, you know, with antiquated equipment and all kinds of things that slow them down, that take up their time, when if the Lord's people would just ask a simple question, many of these people could be freed to be preaching the word and doing other things and be more productive. The question is simply this: what can I do to help you do the Lord's work? What do you need? I'm not talking about personal needs so much, although that's important, but what do you need to really enable you to be more productive in this ministry? Those funds are in our hands and we will give an account for what we've done with them. And it would be a horrible thing to stand before the Lord, wouldn't it, and have to say, well, tell you the truth, I spent most of it on my home and I didn't use that for you, and I spent another big sum on a couple automobiles and I really didn't use them much for you, and bought this and bought that and never did use that for you and just consumed it on myself. I think we can see the embarrassment of that. Things, many things. Not just our home, not just our funds, many, many things. I find it amazing what the sisters do, many times quietly behind the scene with things. Some of them sit and cut out stamps off of envelopes and send those stamps to someone who, through a process, converts them to funds, and those funds are sent to missionaries. And they sit there with a pair of scissors and they just cut a quarter inch border around the stamp. And they use scissors to help a missionary. How about Dorcas, who used a thread and a needle to sew for the Lord's people? And when she passed away, they all wept. She was missed so much. just a needle and a thread. Many things the Lord has put in our hands that we are responsible for. Time, talent, things, and lastly, truth. He has put this into our hands, and He has asked us to protect it, and He has asked us to use it. We are responsible. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. We are stewards of the Word. We are responsible for how we use it. We are responsible for using it. And in the day in which this Word is being set aside in so many circles, including the assemblies, I think it's important that we remind ourselves that we are stewards of this truth, as well as stewards of things and houses and cars and money. We are responsible for how we handle this Word, how we protect it, how we keep it. He has put it into our care. And so many are just writing it off, rationalizing away this chapter, putting this chapter away for this reason or that reason, declaring it unimportant or whatever. We're responsible for it. It's been put into our care. It shouldn't be taken lightly. So these are some of the things the Lord has given us. Time, talent, things, and truth. We all will give an account of our stewardship. Let's pray. Gracious God and Father, we stand in Thy presence tonight in all to think that the Almighty God would deign to use such as we, finite, frail, weak. And yet You have seen fit to incorporate us into Your plan and give us the privilege of being stewards of Your things. You have given us many things that we might use them for Your honor and glory. Lord, enable each one of us, give us spiritual eyes to be able to see the things that You have given us and to be able to understand afresh our stewardship and our responsibility and how we are doing in light of the fact that we will give an account. Lord, speak to our hearts. We live in a world of materialism. We live in a world that constantly seeks to please self. And we just pray, Lord, You help us not to be conformed to this world, that we might be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we thank You for Thy Word. We thank You for Thy goodness and Thy grace. And we now commit ourselves to Thee. And as we part, we ask Thy journey mercies. We would pause to pray for Rex and just pray You would give him safety in this long trip home overnight and watch over him on the road. So now we commit all to Thee as we give Thee thanks and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.